didn't get that.
Sorry, I was seeing if anyone on the net right now or listening wanted to answer that. Someone who knows the answer to that question, so let me get back to you later on in the net, and I'll update you then.
Thanks.
Right. This is Kilo Charlie 9, Alpha Alpha Papa, net control for the Hortonville Who Knows What Net. Beginning check-in. Please respond with your call sign phonetically, name, location, and whether you have a question on tonight's topic. If you have a question on tonight's topic, please simply state topic question so I can mark you down. I will now take check-ins from stations with suffixes Alpha through Lima.
9KD.
Kilo Delta 9, Bravo Kilo Uniform, Mike Noblesville.
Whiskey 9, Lima Bravo X-ray, Brandon in Indianapolis.
Kilo 9, Echo Alpha Tango, Andre in Westfield.
Delta 9, Sierra Zulu Foxtrot, Pat, Westfield. No traffic.
All right, let's pause there for a second. I got a double there. I heard a Zulu Foxtrot. Can we get the Zulu Foxtrot station?
Kilo Delta 9, Sierra Zulu Foxtrot.
When, who else was just checking in a second ago?
Kilo 9, Charlie Alpha Kilo, Chris in Noblesville.
Chris, all right, 1 second here. I'm going to just confirm everyone I've got so far. We've got W9KD. We've got KD9DKU, Mike Noblesville, W9LBX, Brandon Indianapolis, K9EAT, Andre Westfield, and KD9SCF, and K9CAK, Chris. Thanks, guys. All right, anyone else? Alpha through Lima.
Alpha Delta 9, Kilo Tango, Kevin Westfield.
Kilo 9, Charlie, Papa, Hotel, Chris in Strawtown, no questions.
For a second there, I'm acknowledging N9, Dallas, DAM, Dallas, K9, CPH, Chris. There was another station ending in Kilo Tango. Can you go again?
I'll say again, Alpha Delta 9, Kilo Tango, Kilo Delta 9, Sierra Zulu Foxtrot, Kim and Pat, Westfield, no traffic.
Yeah, the repeater cut you off the first time. I just got 9KT and didn't get the start, so we're good now. Thank you for that. Anyone else? Alpha through Lima. Hearing no more Alpha through Lima. That's a large one tonight. Let's go with Mike through Romeo.
November 9, Quebec Mike Lima, Andrew, Noblesville area. No questions.
Acknowledges November 9 QML. Thanks, Andrew. Anyone else? Mike through Romeo, last call. All right, moving on to Sierra through Zulu. Sierra through Zulu.
Kilo Delta 9, Victor India Sierra, Joe, Noblesville.
Acknowledges Kilo Delta 9, Victor India Sierra, Joe Noblesville, taking any check-ins.
Kilo Delta 9, Hotel Yankee Golf, Joe and Fishers, no questions.
Acknowledges Kilo Delta 9, Hotel Yankee Golf. We'll take late check-ins later, guys. Let's go ahead and move on announcements. We'll start with W9KD.
Okay, this is W9KD, John in Noblesville, and, well, the first one is, Alex, did Alex check in? She might be working. Are you there, Alex?
I do not have her checked in tonight.
With Alex taking on new responsibilities at EMA and other things she's got going on too, she doesn't have time anymore for being the net manager for the Who Knows What Net. So I'll be filling in for her, but I want to thank her for all the good work she's done since day one on the Who Knows What Net. But anyway, so we need somebody to help out on this. So if anybody's interested in at least being the assistant net manager until you feel comfortable maybe taking over, but looking for someone for that slot. Also, we're looking for net controls. Now, one of the main purposes of this net is for newcomers. And we've had a few people that started doing net control. They'd never done it before. And this is an excellent place to learn how to, you know, be a net control, because there's no pressure and everybody knows you're new. So if you flub up a few times, it's no big deal. And we can help you through it. So that's what one of the main purposes of this net. And it's helpful to actually know how to do that, to be a net control, because, you know, if we did have some incident going on, we need, you know, like a major catastrophe or something, and we need all the help we can get, because even though we have net controls for Sunday night, net controls for Hortonville, if something happens, those people may not even be around. And so we need other people that are, you know, experienced in running nets. So send me an email, w9kd@aol.com, and we can get you going on that. So would really appreciate that. And speaking of net controls, we need volunteers for net controls to fill out December, at least, and then we'll start in on next year also. So anybody that's a newcomer or an experienced net control, please let me know what time slots you might be able to take care of, and we'll get that taken care of. The other one is Hamco Ham. All right, so we have a Google Groups called Hamco Ham at googlegroups.com, and this is a classic Google Group thing, but what this one's for is for anybody to post any ham radio stuff you want. Now, we're not gonna duplicate things that Sierra posts on their website or Piglets post on their website, because that's not the purpose. The purpose is mainly stuff that maybe you want to get a notice out to people without them having to go to a website to see what's new. You know, you might be trying to sell something, or there might be some solar flare that came up, so you want to alert people to that. There might be some de-expedition, or just you're sitting there going, holy moly, I can hear China, there's some guy on there, and you want to get that news out pretty quick. Well, then that's what this one's for. It's not affiliated with any particular club, group, or whatever, and it's not limited to Hamilton County stuff. It could be anybody from anywhere. If you want to join this group, rather than me rattling everything off, the easiest thing to do would be just go to the canineeoc.org, and Alex has a thing you can check there. It says Hamco Ham. You click that, and there's a real easy link to get to it, so you can join. That would be the easiest way to do it. We also need ideas for topics for the net here. If you've got something you would like to present, send me an email. If you have something you would like to hear somebody else present, send me an email for that too, and we'll see if we can find somebody that can talk about it. Anybody have any questions? Okay, that's all I got. Back to net, W9KD.
Thanks, John, W9KD. This is Kilo Charlie 9, Alpha Alpha Papa for identification as net control. Moving on to announcements for W9 Sierra Tango. Go ahead, Gary.
Hello from Southeast Fishers. I am in the southeast corner of the county, almost into Hancock County and Fortville. So that's where I hail from. Anyhow, my two announcements were that if you're not going to the Hamfest this weekend, Monica added 10 more slots to the volunteers for the Good Samaritan Network food giveaway this Saturday at 8 a.m. So if you were thinking about doing that, there are still spots available. And there's another 10 also for the December 9th Christmas food and toy delivery. And my other announcement was that this weekend is the ARRL November phone sweepstakes contest. It's, I believe the time is from Saturday 4 p.m. to Sunday 10 p.m. But do your own UTC math just to make sure. If you're into contesting or interested in starting, that's a big one, so good way to make some contacts. And this year they have an interesting new limited antenna overlay. There's a new category that if you have basic wire antennas that are no more than 50 feet above the ground, you will be considered in a different group. So you're going to probably score a lot higher in the rankings than all those people with those 100-foot-tall giant Yagis. Anyway, you can get more information about that at arrl.org/sweepstakes if you're interested.
W9ST back to net.
Thanks, Gary. I was just double-checking. You didn't have anything else there. All right. Thanks for those. One second here while I check my notes. I have a few announcements as well. All right. So, several things coming up. Dallas and NDAM, I may hit you up here in a second for any announcements for Sierra, if you've got any, when the next meeting is, stuff like that. We have a couple things coming up here. We have a members meeting for the Piglets on November 20th. Third Monday, just before Thanksgiving, so we'll be doing that. Also, important note is this weekend is the Fort Wayne Hamfest. We will actually, as Piglets, have a booth set up there, so if you're going to the Fort Wayne Hamfest, please stop by, say hello. We will have some stuff for sale as well, so would look forward to seeing you there. I personally will not be there, but Chris, W9CZK, will be, as well as several others. So feel free to come by Fort Wayne Hamfest this weekend. Also, I believe December 2nd is the holiday party. Dallas, do you have details on that? Dallas, on a side note of that, Piglet Leadership has met with Sierra Leadership recently, and I believe we are going to try to
enable access to a shared Google calendar so you guys can have an easier time finding out where all these events are, and it's all in one place for net control like me, because I'm jumping around three different websites looking for things right now. But I appreciate that, Dallas. Thanks for filling in for me on that one. We also have this coming Monday, the late night net at 9 p.m. as well. And this week, I believe it's the SSTV net. We alternate between the Makers net where we discuss like what we're working on. Maybe it's woodworking, 3D printing, whatever it might be, or electronics, of course. But this week is the SSTV net. It is a lot of fun. I highly encourage you to come to that net. It's normally a smaller net where, you know, it's late, but we have a lot of fun with it, and we'd be happy to have you. If you're just even hiding in the shadows, feel free to check in. Right, I believe that's all my announcements. We are getting up to Winter Field Day coming up in a couple of months. I'm sure we'll have more announcements as that gets closer. Given all that, this is Kilo Charlie 9, Alpha Alpha Papa, now handling it over to tonight's topic moderator, W9ST. Tell us about balloons, I mean balance.
All right, well, you can fill balloons up by just blowing in them, but they're a lot more fun if you use a helium tank. Back to net.
All right, thanks for that awesome topic, Gary. We're going to move on to buy, sell, swap one.
Wait, no, I meant balloons too, not just balloons.
Oh, my bad. Back to you.
But if we have time at the end, if people have questions about balloons, we can talk about that too, because I've heard people use balloons to get antennas up in the air. This is W9ST Whiskey 9 Sierra Tango. My name is Gary, and we're going to talk about balloons, unknowns, and chokes tonight. These are commonly used for HF. You can also use them for VHF and UHF, but they're not used nearly as often, so we're not really going to talk about any of that tonight. Before I get started here, can anybody tell me what a balloon is used for? Well, I can't. It's used for transforming impedances. But we got to go backwards. What is impedance? Since we're going to talk about impedance transformers, first of all, we got to figure out what the heck impedance is. So, impedance is measured in ohms. I know a lot of you are very familiar with electronics, especially basic DC electronics, but we're not talking about the resistance that you commonly associate with ohms. Well, actually we are, but we're talking about resistance and reactance. What impedance is it's AC resistance plus reactance at high frequencies. So when you have a signal that's oscillating instead of a constant DC signal, there's a resistance, but there's also a reactance component in the wire. And that reactance component can be capacitive or inductive. With capacitive is normally associated with a capacitor. It's holding a charge between two separated pieces of conducting material. That might be the dielectric in coax, for instance. There's the plastic insulator inside your coax between the braid and the inner conductor. But it can also be, if you've ever used or seen an antenna with a hat on it, like a vertical that has loops or a metal plate at the top, that's a capacitive hat, adding capacitive reactance to that antenna. Now the other type is inductive reactance, and that's usually associated with coils of some sort. They can be or looped coax, and it can be looped around nothing, air. It can be looped around a non-conducting, non-magnetic form, or it might be wrapped around a something like a ferrite rod where it's magnetically enhancing the inductivity. This is typically measured in ohms, but it's a little different than what we're usually used to. It might be measured, for instance, you might say 73 plus J43 ohms, and that would be 73 ohms of resistance and 43 ohms of reactance. Now, why should we care? Well, we care every day. So, does anybody know how we measure impedance? Well, we measure impedance not absolutely, like I just said with those terms, but we, as hams, measure it relatively using SWR. And as you know, SWR is standing wave ratio. That's the ratio of transmitted to reflected power. And that basically tells you how efficient your antenna is, whether all that power you're sending down the line is getting out into the air, or if some of it's getting wonky and bouncing back and being redirected back at your transmission equipment. So the standing wave ratio is usually measured in a number-to-number ratio. So like 1-to-1 is ideal. 1.5-to-1 would be pretty good. Under 2-to-1 is usually pretty good. And most modern rigs that have auto-tuners built into them can manage up to 3-to-1 SWR ratio pretty good. For instance, popular one, the IC7300 transmitter, that can handle impedance on the antenna connection anywhere between 17 and 150 ohms. And if you do the math on that, both of those numbers are three times or divided by three away from 50 ohms, which we all know is the standard coax connection impedance. So one other thing to keep in mind, too, is that changing your feed line length can change the phase of that reflected power, and that affects your reactance, too. So changing your feed line length can change your SWR, even though you don't really think about it and you might not realize it. There's certain fractions of a wavelength that can really cause issues with SWR at certain frequencies that they're resonant on. So, most external tuners can handle out SWRs of usually at least 10-to-1, sometimes higher. And the reason we need balans, ununs, and chokes, getting back to the topic tonight, is sometimes our antennas are creating SWRs much greater than that 3-to-1 or even that 10-to-1 ratio, and so we need to somehow electrically modify that impedance down to something that we can get into either our tuner or directly into our radio. This is W9ST. So one other way we can measure impedance besides the SWR meter on our radio is with something like a nano VNA. The nano VNA is a popular little tool with a graphic screen on it that we can use for measuring SWR most commonly, and it can sweep our antennas and tell us where we have a high and low SWR and what frequency ranges. But it will also give you the actual impedance and those resistance and reactance components if you want it to. Having those exact measurements can be important the more power you're running, and we'll get to that a little later. If you're running high power and amplifiers, getting a ballon that's very well matched to the antenna you're running becomes much more important. So, it looks like we need ballons and unons to transform the impedances of our antenna system to something that our transmitter can understand and use. The advantages of using one of these devices, and if you're not familiar at all with ballons and unons, they're basically a box with some antenna connectors on either side, an input and an output, and there's usually a coil, magnetic of ferrite rod or toroid donut, so to speak, with wires wrapped around them. And it's doing transformations of the signal impedance. So, sometimes you can use an antenna with a tuner without a ballon, but throwing a ballon onto your antenna means you can then run the wire direct to your transmitter, and you can leave the tuner at home, or not even own a transmitter. Not even own a tuner. You can also use the ballons or unens when you need to match the antenna feed point to the transmission line. All antenna designs have an intrinsic impedance level that at their feed point is kind of their natural impedance at their design frequency. For a dipole, it's usually about 75 ohms, although if it's a low dipole or if it's an inverted V, it's usually closer to 50 ohms. Yagi antennas can have they're low impedance. They're anywhere from 10 to 40 ohms, depending on the number of elements and the type of design that they are. And then there's other that are much higher impedance, like an off-center dipole. The farther off-center from you move on a dipole, the higher the impedance. So if it's 75 ohms in the center, as you're moving off-center, and you're feeding that at around the 20% spot, impedance jumps up to like 200 ohms. And if you take that to the extreme and feed that dipole all the way at the end, you've basically made an end-fed half-wave, haven't you? And the impedance on an end-fed half-wave is around 2450 ohms, or 2500 ohms. So clearly that's getting up there and is nowhere near the 50 ohms your transmitter's expecting. Now, one thing I'll just mention as we're discussing all of this, these are ideal numbers. That off-center dipole in the design software, it says it's 200 ohms, but your antenna is always going to be affected by the height of your antenna, the connectivity of your ground, nearby objects like houses and trees, whether or not each side of your antenna is exactly measured correctly or not, or whether there's a little bit of a tilt or angle to your antenna. That all can affect your impedance. So that's where a tool like the Nano VNA can come in handy if you're trying to match and get the maximum performance and efficiency you match to what's actually hanging up in your yard instead of what the software says it thinks it should be. And then, of course, things get more complicated when we start talking about multiband antennas. It used to be really easy back in the day when everybody had just a 40 or an 80 meter transmitter, and it was a single band transmitter with a single band antenna out in the yard, but now we operate on 4, 8, 6, 12, who knows how many bands you're trying to work on those multiband antennas, and with each band, the impedance is a little bit different. So when we're picking a ballon or unun to connect up to a multiband antenna, we're really making a compromise. We're trying to figure out what's the best match overall for all the bands I want to operate in, because it's not going to be perfect, but you want to get everything within the scope of able to be tuned on your antenna tuner or auto tuned with the built-in tuner in your rig. This is W9ST for Who Knows What Net. Before we go on, is there any late check-ins right now?
W9UIN, is he in and Fisher?
Dave, I don't know if you're on, but I heard Whiskey 9, Uniform India, November, is that correct?
Affirmative, that is correct.
This is Net Control, Kilo Charlie 9, Alpha Alpha Papa. I have Whiskey 9, Uniform India, November in the check-in log, thank you.
Excellent. All right, so, let's go over a couple other reasons you might want to transform impedances. Besides what I just mentioned, anybody else have any other ideas on why you might want to change your impedance? Well, one other use might be because you're doing a transmission line change. Maybe you are running window line or ladder line and you want to switch to coax. You can use Balun in that instance to switch the impedance from one to the other so you don't have any loss switching to a different transmission line with a different inherent impedance. And those people of a certain age probably might remember the little black transformers that looked like the letter F. They were kind of L-shaped for the 300 to 75 ohm TB transformations when we did this switch over decades ago from 300 ohm twin lead for our TB antennas in our houses, and we switched over to the 75 ohm coax. And so we needed impedance transformers for that switch, and that's what those little black boxes with the push-on F connector and the two screws that you attached to your feed line. That was a miniature, teeny tiny Balun. And if you tried to use that incidentally for QRP these days, it probably wouldn't work very well because the materials that these are made of work best at different frequencies. So those would have been made for UHF and VHF frequencies, and if you tried to repurpose that for a QRP Balun, it might work, but it's not going to have great performance because the materials in the toroid are just not ideal for those HF frequencies that we're trying to use. I have one tangent on there, why we're 50 ohms, but the cable systems are 75 ohms. We'll come to that later if we have time. So, we need a transformer. We know why we want to transform our impedance, but we got a choice to make, Balun or an unknown. What are they? Who can tell me the difference between a Balun and an unknown?
Letter it starts with?
Correct, sir. Anything more?
I will say, I believe a Balun is normally dealing with a single unbalanced circuit, whereas an unknown is matching between two unbalanced circuits, such as a coax.
That is correct. And I'm going to put a pin in that and hold on and come back to this because I just noticed I missed two other reasons why you might want a Valinor and Unun. So let me jump back to that quickly. Blocking CMC or common mode current. Common mode current is the thing that zaps people when they touch their radio and it shocks them when they're transmitting. Or it is the thing that causes the smoke alarms to go off in your house even though your antenna is out in the yard. It's also the thing that creates noise on your radio. This is W9ST. So common mode current usually involves coax, but it can happen on open wireline too. And the interesting thing about coax at DC frequencies, it's just a two-conductor line. You've got the braid and you've got the interconductor. But at RF frequencies, there's really three virtual conductors happening. You've got the current on the interconductor. You've got current opposing that on the inside of the coax braid, but you can also get current running in the opposite direction on the outside of the coax braid. Now this is a little weird to think about because it kind of hurts your brain, but the reason is because of the skin effect at HF frequencies. The skin effect causes signals to move as far away from each other as they can, and so the electrons are pushing out against and running on the outer edge of the interconductor. And the thing that happens is, though, there's an equal and opposite signal on the coax braid. So that equal and opposite signal is drawing the signal on the inside of the coax braid towards the interconductor. The thing that happens, however, is once it gets to the antenna end, if there's any imbalance in the resulting antenna that it goes out onto, there can be an imbalance of current on one side or the other. And that current may flip around and come back and reverse itself on the outside of the coax braid back towards the transmitter. So what can also happen is the outside of that coax braid is being hit by random noise and other signals around in our RF-polluted environment, and so it can pick up noise, and that noise can work its way back into your shack on the outside of the coax braid. So you've probably seen these mentioned. They might be called an RF choke, or a noise filter, or a QRM blocker, RF blocker. But all they really are, for the most part, is a one-to-one unknown. So what is a one-to-one unknown? We'll get to that in a second. The final thing that these transformers could be used for is for isolation. If there's electromagnetic interference or RF interference, or you might want to block or pass through a DC signal along with your HF RF signal, they can also be used for that. But we're not really going to talk about those uses tonight. So back to the unknown balance. Yes, if you break these words down, balanced, unbalanced are the components of a balun. And what that basically means is you have two balanced connectors or terminals on one end of the transformer, and on the other side you have an unbalanced connector. And when we're talking about unbalanced connectors, we're basically talking about coax or something like coax, such as hardline. And so a balun has two connectors on one side with a coax connector on the other. An unun is an unbalanced transformer. That has typically coax connectors on both sides. And then the third type of transformer would be a choke. And that is similar to an UNON. It's usually coax input and coax output, but it's got a different design specifically to stop the noise or the excess current that's bouncing back from your antenna that is not supposed to be there. Look at balance in a little more detail. There's two major types of balance. Anybody know the two major types of balance? Well, there's a current balun and a voltage balun. And on one, the current balun, the goal is to get equal and opposing currents. So the job of that is to balance current. Whereas, as you might imagine, the voltage balun, the balance voltage. And ideally, if we were talking about a perfectly balanced antenna in free space, either of these would work great for your purposes. However, we don't live in free space with perfect antennas. And so, in the vast majority of cases, current balun is the design you want to go with. Because they are much more tolerant to slight imbalances in the balanced side of the antenna. Now you might hear these referred to as a Guanella balun or an auto transformer. Those are two terms that also mean current balun. Guanella was just the name of a famous ham that published one of the early articles about these back decades and decades ago. And so, as you know, we name antennas after people's call signs, so they named balun after the name of the author of the magazine article. About these two is typically the current balun maintains DC connectivity between the input and the output, whereas the voltage balun, not always, but it typically is more of an isolation balun, and there's not a direct DC connection between the input and the output. With voltage balun, you might also hear them called Ruthoff or Maxwell balun, and again, those were the names of authors back in the day of these balans. So if you hear those names, it's not something weird. It's just, now you know, it's just talking about either a current or a voltage balun. So the voltage balun is, unfortunately, usually the design integrated in these, like an MFJ Versa tuner that's sitting on my desk here, the MFJ941E. It has a 4-to-1 balun on the back that you can connect ladder line to. Unfortunately, it is one of these voltage baluns inside. And according to the interwebs, this is either due to cost, ease of construction, or maybe some RF engineering confusion in the past when these tuners got designed. But they're not the greatest 4-to-1 balun use. You can certainly give them a try because they're sitting there in your tuner, but a lot of people report they get a lot better performance if they get a 4-to-1 current balun or Guanella balun and connect it with coax to that same tuner. Just something to keep in mind. Now, voltage baluns are useful in other RF purposes, but in more controlled environments, like on a circuit board, for instance, where they can keep all the everything pretty balanced, and there's no random imbalance in the picture. All right. jump over to Anons. Anons are typically something like a one-to-one choke. That's usually what Anon would be used for. And a one-to-one choke basically means the impedance on the inside, or on the input and the output are the same, and all its purpose is to choke off any current that's running on the exterior of the coax that's not supposed to be there. So there's a couple different ways to make an anon. One of the most common is with ferrite toroid with coax wound through it. So it's just 6 or 8 turns, maybe 10 turns of coax wrapped around a donut-shaped ferrite toroid, and that'll act as a choke. Another type of choke is putting a series of ferrite beads or rings slid onto coax linearly. So you might have 20 or 30 small ferrite beads lined up in a foot-long piece of coax. And that can also serve as a choke. You might also hear it called a sleeve ballon, but it's doing the same thing. It's blocking your common mode current. Where we put these chokes matters. You can put a choke at the antenna, right at the feed point, or you can put it at your rig, or you can put it right where it enters your home. And where you put it matters. If you're putting it up at the antenna, it's going to be an RF choke, and that's going to block the common mode current when you're transmitting. If you put it right back at the end of your rig or the point where it enters your home, that's going to be a noise filter. That's going to cancel out any random noise that your coax picked up between the antenna and the entry point. Something also keep in mind, if you are using an antenna like an end fed, where you might be using the coax shield as a counterpoise. Well, wherever you put this choke, is your counterpoise length ends there. So if you put that choke right next to your end fed antenna box out in the yard, none of your coax braid is being counterpoise at that point. So that's something to keep in mind. You might find the performance of your antenna went down when you were just trying to add a noise filter, but it's because you put it at the wrong end of your coax. Before I go on, do we got any questions so far?
UIN with a topic question.
Go ahead, UIN.
Understand you properly to say that in a ballon there is no physical like circuit DC connection between them. They're galvanically isolated, in other words. Did I understand that correctly?
That is true in some voltage ballons.
That answers my question. Thank you.
Any other questions so far? So you might ask, or you might be thinking, well, this choke, it's blocking this energy from my transmitter. Where's all that power going? Well, it's being absorbed by the choke and dissipated as heat. And that's why you, especially if you run things like RIDI or digital modes, you want to make sure your Balun is going to support all that power that you're running at the mode you're running at. Because there's been cases of underpowered Baluns that have melted because of the transmission. Well, there's two ways it can melt. I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit, but running too much power through it can overheat it. But also, if you have a really out of balance system with a lot of common mode current coming back, it's being dissipated as heat. And if you're running 100 watts, it's maybe not that big a deal if 20 watts is being wasted along the way. But if you're running 1,000 watts or 1,500 watts, and suddenly you have 200, 300 watts that's being dissipated as heat inside a little 4-inch box, well, you're going to have some problems. So the more power you run, the more important it is that you your antenna systems are analyzed and balanced and properly configured. One other type of Balun we can do here, and it's a hybrid Balun. This is where you take a Balun and an Unun and you stack them together in one box. And this is one of the common implementations of this is taking a 4-to-1 Balun and putting it with a 1-to-1 Guanella and using it for something like an off-center fed antenna. Fourth type of impedance transformer that's a little bit obscure, but you can take a very specific fraction of a wavelength long piece of transmission line and attach it midway, coming off at a tangent, into your transmission line. And the reflections will be such that it cancels out and creates the impedance match that you're looking for. The only problem with doing that, this was popular many, many decades ago, back when antennas were monoband. The problem is, as the frequency changes, the length of transmission line needed to have a transmission stub work properly, it only works at a certain frequency. So it's basically only useful, that strategy, if you're making an antenna for a single band. Alright, so I alluded to it earlier, you can make Baluns with air coils, ferrite torides, or ferrite beads. You can also do it with ferrite rods, although that's not very popular in the ham community. Some people have managed to do that. So once you decide, based on your antenna and transmission line setup, whether you need a Balun or Unun, you got to decide what ratio. You've probably heard of a 9-to-1 Balun or a 49-to-1 Balun or a 1-to-1 Unun or 1-to-1 Balun and wondered, what are all these ratios? W9ST. Well, it's just an input-to-output ratio. You've got 50 ohms on the output connected to your transmitter, and if it's a 4-to-1, that's 50 times 4, or 200 ohms impedance on the other side. If it's a 9-to-1 transformer, that means it's taking an impedance of 450 ohms, or 50 times 9, and transforming it all the way down to 50 ohms. And then, with the one that you would use for an end-fed half-wave antenna, the 49-to-1, that's transforming the big 2,450 ohms back down to 50. Now, I just mentioned the most common ones you'll hear about. But in doing this research, I ran across several ones that I had not heard of. So some of the other ones that are out there, there's a 4-to-1, which I actually knew about because I do have one of those. But there's 6-to-1, a 5-to-1, and I also saw there's higher ones as well. There's a 64-to-1, and I even saw one place selling an 81-to-1. Apparently that one is for if you have an end-fed wire with an extremely thin gauge wire. I don't know, that one sounds a little specialty to me. So you've got these ratios, so what you need to know is what's the standard impedance for your antenna design that you're using. But you can get lists of these, you don't have to figure it out and measure it. Let me run through a couple of the common popular impedance ratios and what antennas you might use them for. A 1-to-1 would be used for like a quarter wave vertical or a dipole. A 4-to-1 might be used for a full wave loop or an off-center fed dipole or a folded dipole or a doublet. And then there's a 5-to-1. This is actually used in some of the commercial multiband verticals that some of you might have from people like Chameleon or HOA Buster. Those are non-resonant verticals. Often use a 5-to-1. And then the 9-to-1 ratio is what you get for end-fed random wires. Whereas the 49-to-1 ratio is the end-fed half-wave wire. And as for the obscure ones, there's like the 2-to-1 would be used for a full-size loop where it's only meant for the full-size mono band. You're not going to use it on other bands. That same antenna works better with a 4-to-1 if you're using it on higher frequencies as well as the design frequency. And then like a 16-to-1 might be a rhombic antenna. I don't know anybody who's ever tried to put up a rhombic antenna, but you see them in the antenna book. So going back to somebody running high power, that's where if you, let's say you've got an end-fed half-wire, half-wave antenna, which you would normally use a 49-to-1, but you throw your nano VA on it and it's got a little bit higher impedance than you thought, maybe because it's near some objects outside somewhere, so that's where you might upgrade to a 64-to-1 balun. Because you want to increase the efficiency of your whole system. So before I move on, does anybody have any questions about the ratios of balun? I see we're getting into the 9 o'clock area, so I will try and keep the rest of this sort of short. The other thing to pay attention to, we now get into just wondering about construction quality. Why is it that I can buy a 9-to-1 balun on Amazon for $23? Or I can buy one from LDC for $45, or I can buy one from Balun Designs for $95. A lot of things come into play there, but you want to look at the size of the ferrite ring inside, and the type of material it's made of, which is usually called the ferrite mix. You want to look at the wire size inside. Is it thin gauge wire? Is it thick gauge wire? Look at the insulation of that wire. Is it magnet wire, basically enameled wire? Does it have standard PVC insulation? Or the best is Teflon insulation, because it's much more resistant to melting at higher temperatures. And then look at the type and quality of the connectors. Some of the cheapies on Amazon, you look at the reviews and people say when they screwed their antenna on and unscrewed it, the entire UHF plug just unscrewed itself because it wasn't tightened properly and broke all the connections that were soldered onto it inside. So for most of us, we're just going to be using 100 watts, so a single ferrite core toroid is good. You can stack the toroids for higher power, so if you're running a kilowatt, you probably want a ballon that has two different toroids stacked on top of each other, and that'll increase the power handling. And let's talk about the mixes real quick. One of the ways these toroids are labeled, for instance, one of the most common ones to use for building these things is the FT240-43. Let's break that down. FT means fair trade. That's the manufacturer of the toroid. 240 is a size measure. You might see 140 or you might see 240. The first number is how thick it is, and then the second number is the dimension of the hole inside. And then the -43 is talking about the ferrite mix. That's the mixture of chemicals that was used to create that ferrite core. 43 is pretty common. You see that a lot for the ballons. Mix 31 is the one you want to use if you're building a choke, though. If you want to block noise or CMC, get a 31 instead of a 43. And then some of the higher quality ones are built with mix 52. That's supposed to be better for broad HF. Works better down into the lower bandwidth range, I believe. And then if you're running high power, you want a different mix too. The mix 61, which would be a toroid labeled -61, that thing can take over twice the temperature range of a regular -43 toroid. And the temperature becomes important because these have something called a Curie temperature. It's basically a maximum temperature that you don't want to exceed, because if you exceed that temperature, the chemical changes happen within the toroid, and you basically ruin it. It won't work after it's been overheated. So, before I wrap up, I do want to mention one thing. Why do we use these ferrite coils? Well, what are we trying to do here with wrapping wires around these toroids? What's actually going on? Well, if we look at the current going through it, current going through one way induces a magnetic field in the ferrite. And then when the RF signal reverses, that magnetic field collapses and induces a reverse current. And so that collapsing and creating of magnetic fields causing a reverse current can be used by winding different wires around the toroids, and that's basically what's happening. Is you're inducing a current in a wire that wasn't the original wire with the current running through it. It's essentially using magnetism or electric magnetism to link or couple different wires together in different ratios. One other thing to keep in mind if you're buying if you're buying balans and ununs, some of the manufacturers seal the boxes, some do not. Some want you to drill a hole in them for water moisture weep holes, and some of them just leave it to you to weatherize and caulk and waterproof them. So before you stick something outside permanently, make sure either you or the manufacturer correctly waterproofed it. So does anybody have any experiences they want to share about with working with balans or trying to get an antenna working that you switched the balan out to something different and it improved, or any challenges that you're going through right now?
T9AP, the only one is, I believe I popped a balloon once.
You got it too close to the vertical, didn't you?
I just had some scissors and there was a helium balloon next to me and I just popped it.
I wonder if a Mylar balloon, are those conductive? Would those work as a capacitive cap on the end of an antenna?
Ooh, now we're getting into it. Great presentation there, Gary. Back to you.
Or where to buy parts, if anybody does, that would be great. I know places like DigiKey and Mouser are probably the cheapest place to get them, but it's really hard to figure out what you want on there because you do a search and thousands of things come back. There's obviously going to be DX Engineering and Gigaparts, R&L.com is a good ham website that would have, I don't know if they have all the components to build these from scratch, but they certainly have quality balans that you can buy pre-built. Another good website is balandesigns.com and palomar-engineers.com. Both of those make high quality, good balans and ununs, and they also have some good articles. If you want some more information about this stuff, I encourage you to Google it, because there is a ton of information about all of this, and although it at first seems simple, there's a lot that goes into designing these, especially if you're trying to optimize for a specific frequency range. Another two websites I'll mention, there's apparently he's an SK, but his website is still out there. If you Google G3TXQ chokes or balans, you'll come to the website. Again, that's Gulf 3 Tango X-Ray Quebec. That website has some good information on chokes and balans. There's a guy named Owen Duffy, OwenDuffy.net. He's got some good information on his website, as does DJ0IP.de. That's a German guy who's got a great website about all kinds of things, lots of information about antennas on there. Again, that's DJ0IP.de.
one more call for questions before I send it back to net control. All right, David, your mic. W9ST.
This is Kilo Charlie 9, Alpha Alpha Papa, is net control. Thanks, Gary, for a great presentation. I was joking with the balloons, all in good fun. You had a great presentation there, a lot of good information. Do appreciate it. And anyone else on the net for late check-in? I want to take late check-ins. I did have an answer for Whiskey Alpha 4, Echo Zulu Foxtrot. Ron, are you there?
This is WA4EZF, I'm here, yes.
All right, I talked to Derek, and if you're wanting to do PCB ordering for pretty cheap, you can use JLC PCB, that's Juliet, Lima, Charlie, Papa, Charlie, Bravo. Use PCB way. The other one is useful applications for building your own PCB these days is KiCad, Kilo India, Charlie Alpha Delta. If you Google that, you'll find KiCad. It's an open source EDA CAD software. Works pretty well. And you can also do Fusion 360. They have Eagle built into it now, but it's kind of old school. So I would look at Kilo India. CAD.
Thank you, that's very good. Any idea which company, to get a board made?
Yeah, that was my first one. That's PCB Way or Juliet Lima Charlie PCB. Juliet Lima Charlie PCB. If you Google that, you'll find them.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And dig around and I've been doing it by hand now. I'm getting tired of doing it by hand. It takes too long. And I need one for this device I'm working on now. And it's a small one, but I really appreciate it. It's WA4EZF.
No problem. I've been there myself doing the hand ones, all the chemicals and stuff. Yeah, it's so cheap to just order it, and they get it all nice. And you can even do silk screens and have everything labeled for you. So definitely check them out.
Coming.
All right, any other questions on tonight's topic?
One last thing I forgot.
Go ahead.
If you've got a multiband antenna that's you're feeding with window line, which is 450 ohms, you might think you have to match that before you put it into your tuner or your antenna, or I'm hearing your transformer. But you don't necessarily. If it's a multiband antenna, then the impedance is going to change. So the impedance of that line is not going to be 450 ohms, depending on what frequency you are. So don't go overboard with putting trying to match your antenna and your window line. If it's a multiband antenna, do some research and make sure if you are putting that balun in there, that's actually serving a good purpose and not throwing things more out of whack. W9ST.
Thanks, Gary. Noted. All right. Really quick. Next. Let's do buy-sell swap once. I'm a little out of order here because I switched on something else there, but any buy-sell swap once? All right, next week there will be no net because it will be Thanksgiving and all of us will be full on turkey and probably asleep by now. So don't worry about next week's net. Feel free to hang out if you're still awake somehow, but we'll probably be asleep. This is Kilo Charlie 9, Alpha Alpha Papa, atomic moderator for the Hortonville Who Knows What Net. And I'm reading the wrong...